now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, we bring back our colleague, Teresa Tucker, a member of the Cosmic Switchboard team. Teresa Tucker is an empath, an artist, and she will be discussing her empathic abilities. Teresa is a very deeply spiritual person, but very far from being religious or in any way conformed to traditional so-called spirituality. She has developed her abilities and her gifts entirely on her own, also in a personal relationship with God and in knowing that her very unique skills do originate from Him, and without Him they would not be possible. She considers herself an empath and occasionally telepathic, sometimes a mystic, and she also very often has the same experiences with persons who have passed, but she is not a psychic or a prophet, just a very strong and unusually advanced receptor of a person's feelings, emotions, thoughts, and other aspects of their inner self, being highly tuned and familiar with very powerful spiritual phenomena and experiences of varied forms that reveal them. She is uncommonly feminine, having an ultra-female countenance and personality and extreme womanly attributes, which has greatly enhanced the creation of her astute empathic traits over time, having been built over the decades of her life. Teresa's empathic experiences throughout her life extends in particular to very deep and intimate connections with men, whom she has come to love and respect in very close unions with them, and she has a very sincere and caring humility towards masculinity. In this second interview with Teresa, Teresa expounds upon dreams and what she calls sleep visions as among the very highest forms of the most advanced empathic phenomenon she has experienced. So without any further ado, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, our Cosmic Switchboard team member, Teresa Tucker.
Thank you, James, and it's wonderful to be back. Really enjoy this interview on dreams that we're going to talk about.
A subject that needs to be discussed at some length, because a lot of people don't realize that dreams are the conduit for visions, and that in the old days, they had specific people that were dream interpreters. And when a Roman emperor or, you know, a chieftain would have a dream, and he or she, whoever was ruling the clan, couldn't figure it out on their own, they would go to a dream interpreter and say, okay, what does this mean? Because, you know, dreams are full of symbology, and symbols speak to our soul. So let's get right into it. Are dreams spiritual phenomenon? And if so, how do you rate them on the scale of empathic experiences?
Oh, I certainly believe they're spiritual phenomena, without question. The decades of my life, I've had dreams, and they're all empathic as far as my case is concerned. Definitely convinced that they are far, far more than just random happenings or what a medical person would consider a mind restlessness or symptoms of something that's just going on bodily-wise, no consequence, just coincidental. All your classic expressions from psychiatry. I believe, without question, they are far, far, far more advanced than that and from a spiritual realm, definitely. There's many things about them that convince me of that. Their profoundness, the air about them that tends to make you feel there's got to be a message. Something is being said. Something is being revealed. It's very, very, very distinct. The power of dreams, can be amazingly powerful. Of course, some of the things you see in dreams, in my case, the structure elements that I've talked about, and the empathic part of dreams where I'm experiencing a person's emotions are extremely pronounced. All the revelations and things you see in dreams seem to have some kind of surreal experience. They are full of weight and depth. They seem to be from an ultra-intelligent source. They're not ordinary. not just random, ordinary. So everything about them convinces me they are definitely, without question, a spiritual experience, and possibly the highest form of spiritual phenomenon, at least that an empath can have, which reveals somebody else's emotions.
Yes, there are various techniques one can use to, with the consent of the other individual, tap into their own dreamscape and then have that person share in ways as far as what's going on with them. They may be reluctant to share or volunteer certain issues that may be troubling them, but in a dream state, if the higher self of the oversoul of the person is asked, okay, is it okay for this person to reveal what's troubling them, what's bothering them? Often as not, the oversoul, the higher self, will say, yes, please continue. And then the person in the dream, who has the image of the person they will at times volunteer what's been going on with them. It could be of a personal nature, it could be whatever is troubling them, and then that gives the person helping them, working with them, the information they need, and so then they can start working on solutions at that point. So the dreams have a very real, like you mentioned, surreal quality to them, and also there's an interdimensional aspect to them too, because I've always felt that when we dream, we go dream hopping at times, dimension hopping rather. And so in some of these dreams, there's density, there's structure, there's form, things take on shape, things take on texture. Another question I have for you, Teresa, is why do you like to call them sleep visions and not just dreams? Do they have characteristics that make them feel like they're more of a vision experience?
Yes. Oh, I like to call them sleep visions. I started calling them that decades ago. I'm used to enormously profound, vastly powerful dreams for a very long time, but I call them sleep visions because I think that they really are a form of vision. I'm accustomed to daytime visions, certain forms of various different subconscious visions and the like. But a dream to me shouldn't just take on that conventional or traditional term. People loosely call them dreams, and they call them dreams. That's just the conventional way of calling them that and describing them. But sleep vision, I think, is a lot more accurate because it's a profound experience. It's a revelational experience, and it seems to be the highest as far as empathy is concerned, empathic experiences and connective experiences. In my case, with a man in a connection and revealing his deepest emotions, it seems to be the highest manner in which he's expressing himself, to fall asleep and have a literal visionary experience that sometimes takes you into states that even take you in out-of-body states, some astral projection experiences. So it's definitely not just you fall asleep and you have a bunch of weird things go through your head. They're much, much more, like you said, structured, very full of surreal feeling, ethereal feeling, profoundness, wisdom, intelligence, and everything that you can describe. And they do reveal things. They're definitely revealing things. So to me, I think vision is more accurate. And it is my personal term for them, but they because of their advancement, their advanced feeling, I just don't like to use that traditional loose term to describe them.
Yeah, because it's so limiting in its
Right.
usage, where we're just conditioned to believe that dreams are just a series of juxtaposed images, like haphazardly thrown together, that have no underlying meaning or structure or form. Now, can you take our listeners through the process of what it's like to have a sleep vision. Is there any special preparation that you do prior to sleep, or does it matter? And then once you find yourself, when you become lucid, because I imagine some degree of lucidity is important, that you're aware that you're in this kind of sleep vision, how do you recognize the state that you are in a sleep vision, and then how do you go along with the flow of it without making it end prematurely?
Usually, almost always, they happen unexpectedly. They're unexpected, and you don't plan for them. However, I do expect them every night. Usually, they're preceded by other spiritual phenomenon that occurs during the day, and then once I retire at night, as you start to relax, that spiritual phenomenon can get stronger. A daytime vision, as I call it, a spiritual vision, sometimes gets more strong and vibrant and starts taking over. I can tell from that that I'm probably going to have a dream, and sometimes the dream extends from the visionary experience while awake. Then if you go into a subconscious state, a half awake state where you are falling asleep, something that I call a mental vision might occur. And that is sort of like a dream, only you're still while awake. But it's a vision that goes through your mind. It's identical to a dream, but you're still kind of subconscious. Then you fall asleep and you have a dream, and it's like a much, much bigger extended experience of what you had during the day. But yes, there is some kind of preparation. I never really purposely plan for that. All spiritual phenomenon that I have empathically is beyond my control. It happens anyway. And sometimes dreams, well, you fall asleep and you won't expect to even have a dream, and you have one, and it's amazingly incredibly big and huge, even rapturous, as I like to sometimes call them. So yeah, they're never planned or unexpected. And as far as coming out of them is concerned, they can leave you reeling for long periods of time. They can be so intense and so powerful that they knock you over, and the memory of them can last well into the rest of the day. What happens in that case, sometimes I have daytime visions that will follow up on the dream. So it's sort of like daytime vision, then subconscious mental visions, then a dream. In the middle of the night, I can wake up several times and have that same experience, and then have more dreams. I can have like four or five dreams throughout the night, wake up, get up, and start the day, and have daytime visions that follow it. So it's sort of like an endless pattern.
You mean the daytime dreams follow in substance, in perhaps in form, if you will, and themes what you had been dreaming about the night before?
Yeah, very, very often in the case of a man's emotions, sometimes what he's presenting in the sleep state and the dream state, and what happens, he'll follow up on it during the day, only it's a different kind of vision. You're awake, and it's more like a holographic apparition type of thing. It's not as strong as a dream. It professes the same thing. Then you go into the next night, and he can be expressing himself in the same way, on the same subject or expression or whatever he wants to reveal. Sometimes there has been anger experiences like that too from somebody. Anger experience during the day and daytime visions and spiritual voice phenomenon and other forms of empathic manifestations get much more enhanced during a dream. You go to sleep at night and they appear to be even more angry. They're more expressive about it. And yes, and it's a worse experience. It's actually something I dread when somebody's angry to go to sleep and have a nightmarish anger experience from them. It's even worse than what they say during the day, what they reveal. But the good ones is of course the experiences of love and ardor from a man and physical things and his manifestations of his feelings. Now, those are very, very welcome and wonderful to experience in the dreamscape. Yeah, he will express during the day these things, and then at night they get even more enhanced. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Now, when you find yourself in these sleep vision, visionary states at night, have you found yourself being, I don't know if the word, the correct word is involuntarily, but pulled into other realms, other dimensions, shown things of a highly symbolic spiritual nature? Are there times when there seems to be a guide or some kind of beings present that take you on this? Or is it something that usually you were kind of on your own and you have to kind of go with the flow? Okay, I'm going through one of these again. I'll see where it takes me. And if you do go through something like that, what are some of the realms? What are some of the things you've seen and experienced? And what are some of the lessons that you've taken from these experiences, keeping in mind the fact that our human language is so limited when describing such things?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good question, because I believe that a lot of people have those specific kinds of dreams. I will not describe my dreams as being like that. Mine are purely empathic. They're absolutely purely empathic. Once in a great while, I will have a prophecy sleep vision about something in my own life, but that's rare. What I encounter in a dream is that if somebody is going to take me into a dimension, if you will, is the person that I'm empathically experiencing. I feel like I'm going to his dimension. I'm being drawn there, yes, and sometimes being shown things, but always just experiencing that person. And their emotions are far, far more enhanced and vibrant in dream sleep visions, than they are in other phenomena while you're awake. This is what makes dreams so special and so extraordinary. Everything is a lot more pronounced. It's a lot more vivid and sometimes so shockingly so. It's out of this world. It's hard to explain. But I've never really had a dream, as you described, where somebody is higher being walking me through something and showing me things. That sounds like something maybe mystics might experience or psychics or whatever. I'm a true empath. Now, my dreams are very, very powerful. They're enormously powerful, and they very often go into the astral projection type of thing. But they're all empathic. They're an intertwining with somebody, interfacing, intertwining. Sometimes can get very, very physical. But I think they're kind of set apart in that regard.
Now, when you have these empathic experiences and dreams, like you just mentioned, have you experienced, for example, say that there's a male in our example who maybe what some regard as like emotionally shut down or closed off, for whatever reason, whatever childhood trauma, whatever past issues they have yet to resolve, some kind of inward kind of issue. Have you seen kind of an effusion, if you will, of emotion from them in the dream empathic state, where they're more likely or more capable of expressing emotions to you in these dream states, whereas face-to-face on the phone in so-called real life, they still remain guarded, they still remain somewhat emotionally shut down. Have you ever seen that side of people in these empathic dreams?
Oh, of course, definitely. Very often these dreams and other forms of spiritual phenomenon, empathic phenomenon, will reveal what that person will never really want to say or fearful of saying or too angry to say. That's very common. I know of what they are going through inside, whether it be loving feelings or being in love or anger or any other adverse emotion or good emotion, something they're never going to tell anybody or me to my face or anything like that. I know of that through the phenomenal experience of them. Some of the emotions are quite extraordinarily big and huge and vast. Anger, for example, is a huge one, but you know, the feelings of love and the desire, it appears that dreams in particular, specific desires will come forth that you never know this person can even have. And you can tell, oh, they'll never sit down and actually talk to you about it, but, you know, express it unless they're brave enough or you know, revealing enough. But yes, it's very, very true. And now there's also been lots and lots of sleep visions that I've had where it's revealed the trauma, like you said, of somebody. If somebody has sadness, if somebody's going through a very difficult time and they're going through a lot of distress, that comes out too in both daytime visions and the sleep visions. Sometimes that can get very overpowering. But yeah, they're never going to talk about it. They may not want to talk about it because they're either fearful or they don't want to express it verbally. There may be many reasons for that. People have a lot of reasons to keep things hidden. One of them is the idea of discretion and not being able to trust other people. But an empath can, of course, experience and read, if you will, another human being in this way, but I don't think that they will ever receive information about somebody that person really, really doesn't want to come out. I do believe in an all-powerful force that is controlling the universe and everything. If a man really didn't want me to know something, if he would be offended so deeply, I don't think it would come out in an empathic experience about him. So I think that the wall that he's putting up is more just human fear and things like that, but it's not that he never wants it to be revealed. I think that deep down inside him, he wants it to be expressed. He may not know how to do it, and it's going to come out in a dream or another spiritual experience about it.
Have you ever come across somebody in these empathic dream experiences that seemed to be lucid and aware that they were in this empathic sleep vision with you and were regarded and very, you know, kept things close to the vest, so to speak, where they realize, oh, well, I'm here with Teresa and we're in some other dream realm and I better kind of, you know, mind my P's and Q's. Have you ever noticed that before?
Not in the dreamscape, no. Because, and the connections that I have had, usually the man does know that I have these dreams. Well, somewhere along the line, I'm telling him about them anyway. The connection that I have with somebody now, very, very mentally strong person, is very well aware, not just by the fact that I think that he enters that dreamscape, like you said, and I interact with him almost in reality. He also knows because I have told him, but it doesn't seem to be a shock to anybody, nor do they appear to want to really guard themselves. They kind of want to let it all out in the dreamscape. And sometimes they say things and express things as if to teach me something, like, okay, I'm showing you how it really is and you better learn. They kind of take command there, if I can describe it that way. They tend to feel that, okay, I may be having a spiritual phenomenon, but they're still in charge. I'm going to experience what they tell me I'm going to experience, and what I do experience is okay. It's not embarrassing. It's not offensive. It's not bad. It's just a fact. Yeah, I've never had anyone try to get cautious in the dream experience itself. Of course, in facing them in real life, they've definitely done that. But I've had, of course, probably the most common thing that's happened to me in the real life scenario is when I've dared very respectfully to tell somebody about something, they turn into fits of anger, and they get very, very upset and angry at me.
This would be in the sleep vision state?
Well, yeah, and it'll come out in sleep visions too. No, in the real life actual conversing with a man that I'm having an empathic experience about, if I happen to talk to him about it, then it usually generates an enormous amount of anger in that person. Unfortunately. This goes back to the question in my first interview that did I ever get in trouble? There's been instances where I've been very close to it, so I've learned to be very careful. But that is unusual about the dreamscape world is that it's almost like going on the holodeck in Star Trek. You can go there and have any experience you want, and nobody's going to tell you you need to shut it down or you know, you can be as free as you want. And it seems as though that person wants to do that too. I don't feel that they want to guard anything. They sometimes want to take command, which is great. I respect that. But I've never had anybody say, oops, I can't show you this. Not in the dreamscape. In reality, yes, but not in the dream world.
What seems to be the underlying motivation when some of these individuals, I'm guessing males in our example, want to seem to want to take control of a dream or want to guide it in a certain direction? Do you think that it's part of their innate kind of masculine type A personality coming forth, or do you feel that they're trying to, at some higher self oversoul level, they want to show you something, or what do you feel that is the cause for this sometimes?
Oh yes, definitely their masculinity, which I deeply respect. And I think that in this case, they are dealing with a woman that does have this power, and they want to be maybe careful in that sense. They want to make sure that I don't do anything wrong with it, which they usually know I'm not, of course. But yes, the men that I tend to be connected with are very strong, manly men. There's very few of those left, unfortunately. But yeah, they are. And they are mentally strong. They have very strong mental powers, very strong minds. They're not necessarily bossy. They're just strong in the way of their, yes, masculinity. So in that sense, yes, they are taking command. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not like where they're controlling or dominating in such a way that it's harmful to me. It's not. After all, if I put myself in their place, I think I would want to be cautious too. You've got this very, very highly developed empath who can see and read every single one of your emotions. You can't really hide anything from her. What are you going to do? How are you going to react? You're going to want to take some amount of control there. I would think that would be natural for anybody. So it also could be that they just simply want to retain the discretion there that's needed in a normal sense of the word, what anybody would do.
There's always the notion of control, of not wanting to relinquish control, and both sexes do this to some degree, but males in particular are quite reluctant to relinquish control at all levels of consciousness and conscious awareness in and out of, the physical 3D world and in and out of the dream state as well. Now, have there been times when kind of the tables have been turned where you're having this sleep vision experience with somebody, and the other person you're having this interaction with shares something with you about yourself that you may not have been aware of, or maybe that you were yourself thinking of or preoccupied with, but were not really volunteering it to anyone else or confiding in anyone else. Has anything like that happened to you before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. In fact, a lot of my empathic experiences seem to border on the telepathic. And I say that because literal conversations can go on between me and the man. And it's outrageously, incredibly phenomenal. And they will say something like, yeah, you felt this or you felt that. So they're having a spiritual phenomenon too of their own that's revealing something about me that I haven't even spoken about. And that can happen in a dreamscape too. It's almost like that person knows how I'm going to react or what kind of emotion I already have. All kinds of words that they say. They tell me, oh, you should, stop crying or stop being, this kind of thing. How would they know that if I hadn't actually, told them that? I'm not always in contact with that person physically, so it's quite unusually vastly unique and very, very different. And I guess these are very high forms, advanced forms of spiritual experiences. But I think that the other person that I'm interacting empathically with must have their own sets and types and forms of experiences too to reveal things. Because it's sometimes they even almost predict what I'm going to express or say, something that I have in my heart. So yes, that's quite true. That's very true.
So they anticipate what you want to talk to them or share with them.
Sure, yes. It's almost like they already know. Everything that I say in a telepathic conversation doesn't seem to be a big shock. Not always agreeable or can sometimes generate some upset or anger or adverse expression, but nothing seems to be a big surprise. It's like that person knows me within. And I've had so many experiences of that that it's amazing. So I get the impression that the person that I'm empathically connected with and revealing himself must have mental capacities or some spiritual capacities that are also very, very advanced. And the perception there is out of this world. It's quite extraordinary. I'm thinking that a higher power has united us in some way. There's a purpose for that, a purpose for that particular person to be empathically united with me, if I can describe it like that. So it's just no coincidence.
Yeah, something like that has happened with me before. I've shared this with, well, I don't think many people, but privately I've shared it with a few people, that shortly after finally having a sit-down conversation with Eve Lorgan, a longtime close friend and colleague of mine, at these conferences and lectures in San Diego and Southern California and Los Angeles, and I never had the opportunity to sit down and talk with her. I just always see her coming and going, and I just was drawn to her because I knew innately, intuitively that I had to know her. And finally, we found ourselves sitting next to each other at the Vance Davis lecture. I think it was maybe the first or the second time Vance had ever spoken in Southern California. For our listeners, some of you may remember the so-called Augsburg Six. Vance was a member of U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command, a subsidiary of NSA, and he and some of his Army colleagues were at a listening post, the secret listening post in Augsburg, Germany. They had been receiving all this information from I don't know if it was a Ouija board, a channeling, I can't remember what it was, but a lot of it had to do with stuff that was going to come down in America in the future, civil war, the return of concentration camps, all this other stuff. So basically, what happened was the Augsburg Six decided to go AWOL, and Vance was one of them, right? And it's a classic story. Vance has since passed away. But anyway, Evie and I just happened to be sitting next to each other before the start of this lecture. And so I introduced myself, we started talking, and we got, we hit it off right away. We continued a long-standing past life association. And then, not too long after that, Evie calls me up and says, you came to me in my dream last night. Oh, really? What happened? And she goes, well, you showed up wearing a suit, and you talked about we ought to get a like a abductee support group going, and how we ought to do some research together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting, And so, we did. Eventually, we formed an abductee support group and a MyLab support group, and did a lot of work together over the years. And on another occasion, this is funny too, because Evie had developed this ability to, like yourself, contact people in the dream state, and one time she reached out to me in the astral dreamscape in a sleep vision kind of mode, and I started telling her all this stuff that I'd been preoccupied with, and I've been I wouldn't say fretting about, but was thinking about a lot during that time period. And then when she's telling me about it on the phone, like the next day or a couple of days later, I'm going, really? I told you that? I told you that? I told you that? I couldn't believe I was so glib in the sleep vision dreamscape state, right? But that's what happens, that sometimes we just start volunteering all this stuff that we're preoccupied with or maybe have
Or
concerns
we
over.
just don't want
And
maybe that you didn't have the time or ability to express all of that, and then in the dreamscape you finally did, or it came out in that version. But that's something else, because that's exactly what I experience. And in my case, it's almost every night. I literally do enter that, come to that person in the dreamscape, and that person comes to me, and we intertwine, interact in every imaginable way you can think of, including physically as well. So that doesn't surprise me. What you described there doesn't surprise me at all. And speech in dreams, too, can be extraordinarily articulate and profound. It's like talking to somebody, and sometimes the things that are said, you may never express in real life. I've had that experience too, names and all kinds of stuff.
Yes, and information that we may not consciously be aware of sometimes comes
It's worth
forth in these dream state, sleep vision interactions. It's like consciously we don't really know where this information comes from. It probably goes back to that, what I call native intelligence that we're born with, that we bring with us from prior incarnations. Now, I don't know if I asked you this in the previous interview that we had together, but I think it's a good time to ask once again, if for those of you that are listening, if it turns out I asked this in the past, with Teresa, please forgive me, but I just feel moved to ask her again this time. Have there been times in these sleep vision states where you were given information from someone you were interacting with, maybe on a subconscious level, where the person consciously had not shared this with you, or they shared information with you in these sleep vision states, which you feel is important to bring up with them in the conscious 3D world? Did that put you kind of in a quandary? Were you, hesitant to bring up these things that were kind of shared? I don't know if you would say in confidence or shared subconsciously. What kind of thought processes go through your mind when you receive information that you feel the person is like unwilling to share on a normal conscious state? I mean, do you have a set of ethics that you go by, or how do you deal with such a
Certainly.
situation?
Well, first of all, I have very, very deep respect for what that person is inwardly, especially when they have feelings. an enormous deep respect for how they would want it presented. After all, I'm learning everything about them inwardly, whether they want to share it or not, through these empathic experiences. I think it is my duty to respect it with all of my heart and soul in a very humble way. As far as them, when I experience something in a dream, for example, what they wouldn't want to share, and this comes out in a subconscious manner as you described, I respect what they might want me to share with them about it, but I more often than not feel moved in a very quiet, discreet way, and only to them. You know, I'm not going to blast it to the world. That's the very, very last thing I'm going to do. To tell them privately in some way, sometimes it's writing it down, what I did experience in the dream. Because I am also aware that they are still very conscious of what they wanted to tell me. Like I said, nothing is really, really a big shock. It's what is amazing is that it's been revealed to me something that they would never express. But I sometimes very, very often feel moved, more often than not, to write the dream down and then share it with that person. Tell them all about it in every detail. Because it is from their mind or their soul or their heart, somewhere inside of them, whether they knew it or not, if it was there. And then they will realize that it was there. Sometimes they do want to express something and they won't bring it out in real life and it will explode in a dream. It will just, it will just passionately explode in a dream and an ultra big experience from them. And it's no surprise to them at all because they were feeling it inside anyway. They just were not expressing it. So that happens quite often. But one thing that I would like to mention a little bit, and Dean and I have talked about this a lot, is that a great many people who have revelations of others, psychics or empaths, don't seem to have the respect. They don't seem to have the humility. And they'll go up to somebody and say, hey, guess what? Guess what I experienced of you in a crowd in front of people. There's even TV personalities that do it. And I shun them entirely. I can't even bear to watch people who take their ability and what has been revealed about another person and literally with such disrespect flash it in front of the world. I mean, think about that. Would you want somebody to do that to you if an empath comes up to you and says, I had a dream about you. I know what you said, this and that, and then went and wrote it in a newspaper or got on reality TV.
It happens, and it's
just shocking to me. It's utterly shocking to me. So, I go the opposite. The person deserves absolute, complete discretion. I always follow a spiritual nudge within me or a spiritual calling as to what to describe to that person himself in between him and I. So, it's definitely that's definitely a big part of being a very, when you say a good empathic person, you know.
Yes, that's it's important that those boundaries are maintained and respect for others is maintained. Same. Like, for example, I had given Evie permission. Oh, yeah, you know, like people that I innately trust and I feel a kinship with, I said, yeah, you know, if you know, we come across each other in the same dream pool or whatever, you know, just, you know, feel free to just tell me whatever you want to tell me or show me whatever you want to show me. And, you know, just we'll just keep it between us. This is just kind of a personal interaction between us two, that kind of thing. But what I've been seeing across the board in the waking consciousness and in the dream state, the sleep vision state, and this has been going on for a long time in the sleep vision state. There are a lot of people out there. I call them astral rapetoids. They purposely set out to astrally rape women at night, and, you know, then they play mind games with them during the day. You know, how was your dreams last night? You know, just kind of mucking around with them like that. And if it's a gal who has been subjected to some form of trauma in the past, childhood abuse, mind control, SRA, MyLab stuff, negative alien abduction experiences, to have someone come along and in a mocking, jeering fashion kind of imply that, yeah, that was me last night that was, doing that astral hoochie coo to you, like, what are you going to do about it, right? Who are you going to tell? No one will believe you. Because they'll think you're a nut, right? And see, that's very predatory. It's very reptilian. And a lot of that goes on, actually, because so many people in and out of this field are reptilian Draco hybrids that have this capability. And I'm not just picking on reptilian Draco hybrids, because, those that have, like, mantis DNA, mantis hybrid, capabilities, DNA profile, they can do the same as can others. And just a quick point, but and I'd like your thought on this as well. We're seeing all across the board now this breakdown in ethics, where people in our field, Teresa, people who should know better, they've developed this very mercenary kind of mindset where somebody posts something. Naomi Swan, Deborah Jane East, and I have talked about this in our interviews together. That when someone posts something on Facebook or on YouTube, and it's an interview or it's a discussion, someone else in the field will chime in the thread or in the comments down below. Oh yeah, very interesting. Yeah, I agree with some of that. Oh, and if you want a healing session, a consult, whatever kind of energetic workup, contact me. Like they're piggybacking on other people's work in a very mercenary kind of fashion. And say, okay, well, yeah, they talk about this stuff, they do this kind of work, but the implication is I'm better. My information is more important. I'm a better healer. So, contact me instead of going to this person's website that whose video or interview you just watched, right? So a lot of that is going on, and that's even, because of the energetic flux going on, because of the merger between the third and the fourth dimension. A lot of people who should know better, a lot of people that should be holding themselves up to a higher standard. Well, these standards have gone by the wayside, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's so many people out there that have no ethics, no morals in this field. It's
Yeah, and
really sad.
it gives the rare good ones a bad name. Yeah, they
Yes.
definitely, without question, they need to change. People should have a much, much deeper respect, humility, and maturity, a mature attitude and feeling towards their ability. And definitely, without question, you don't want to go around thinking you are better or you know more, or you have a bigger ability, or you're more. That's
Yes, yes.
absurd. That's childish. That's not.
It's child, and it bespeaks of a spiritual immaturity, and from people who should know better. And on one occasion, I gave this talk to a small group, of men that was set up by a friend of mine, this gal, and she'd set it up so I could talk to a small group of men about, the research I do and the work that I do, et cetera, et cetera, and. One of the people there, one of the men there, was this guy who channels, different kinds of entities and whatnot. And I've always, the limited interactions I've had with him, I've always felt that he was kind of full of himself in many ways. And so as we're walking out of the place, right, as, the meeting breaks up and I'm leaving, right, this guy turns to me and says, "You know what? You're emitting a lot of negative energy." And I kind of looked at him. I said, "I've got a really bad, bad abscess tooth headache right now, and it's gone to my head, and I've got like a lot of pain, right?" And it's like that kind of shut him up. But it's like instead of saying, "Yeah, I'm feeling like a lot of discomfort and a lot of, pain coming from you," it's like, "Oh no, you've got negative energy." "Oh yeah, I was negative, all right. I was negatively, like, emotionally." Physically impacted because of an abscess tooth, which was in danger of getting infected. And instead of the person manifesting empathy, concern, or just as well, not even saying anything, he's got to take or try to take the high moral ground and accuse me of emitting negative energy when I'm in a lot of pain. And that whole time that I was speaking to that small group of men, I had to fight the pain back, right? You know, I told my friend that I was going to go there and speak to this small group of guys. Yeah, but it's an example of what we're talking about, where these people, these self-proclaimed psychics, they have this intrusiveness and a boorishness. And I've seen it also where they just blurt out something about you or about someone else. You know, instead of pulling that person aside, yeah, no respect whatsoever. I mean, if a deceased spirit is trying to make contact with somebody, you don't bring that up like in mixed company. That's something that should be private. You know, just whisper.
I don't
person,
want to point any
you know?
Names, but there's a certain TV personality that does that, and I cannot bear to watch her. I honestly cannot. I can't. I just cannot. It's so offensive to me what she does. But if I may get back to what you were expressing about the astral rape, did you call it? I'd like to show.
Yeah. And that what I mean by that is non-consensual. What I mean by that is something that has not been agreed to between two people, right? It's just something
in
that's
my
just
case,
predatory. But please
go
ahead.
I'm assuming that those may actually be evil entities. I'm not sure I understand it fully, but I want to shock the world by saying that in my case, it's entirely consensual. I actually welcome everything and anything the man wants to reveal and do. So in my case, it's the opposite. There's no, absolutely no ill feelings. In fact, many of these beautiful astral projection, physical and sensual interaction is magnificent. It's just, yes, it does delve into the erotic and sexual, very sexual, but it's so astoundingly real and so amazingly, awesomely experienced, so felt. I like to use the word felt. And what's so wonderful is that it's an entirely free thing. Many people are too apprehensive or inhibited to be free in that way, even if they're man and wife or something. Many people are inhibited, but in the astral dreamscape, you can be entirely free. You can do anything. And I don't think any of it is bad at all. And empathically united with somebody, I feel that I do have a quote unquote relationship with that person. Everything that they want to experience and bring forth in these dream world encounters, they're absolutely free to do it no matter what, and I welcome it. I have a very, very good feeling about it. So I don't go through that. I've never had an entity that did that, but I'm assuming that maybe the entities that are doing that, this raping of the dream world you described, could have some evil background to them. Like you said, maybe the reptilian source or whatever. I will confess I don't understand a whole lot about that, but it could exist. And they just come in and take what they want, not just physically, but a lot of other ways. Sure, I can believe that can happen. This is an empathic experience that I'm speaking of and interacting with somebody that none of that exists. So very important.
Yeah. Definitely there's the difference between the two, that people that have a kinship and maybe even a past life connection and, you know, a pre-existing empathy between them. I can see how something like this can happen. And you know, sometimes one person may remember more of those interactions than the other, or sometimes they both remember them. If it's coming from a place of mutuality, of organic source, and of heartfelt kinship, I likewise don't see anything wrong with that. And what I'd like you to comment upon in the rest of this first half, the time you got left, and also carry on a bit in the second half, is how those kinds of intimate interactions can take a spiritual connection to another level. Because what happens sometimes is that this kind of erotic, intimate interaction in the dreamscape can open a lot of doors in a very positive sense, where both people, when they're on the same wavelength or on the same spiritual path, so to speak, it can really raise their chi. It can really raise their energy levels, and then suddenly they can start going to other places that previously they had not been able to go to, other realms, access other realities. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, one thing I often talk about to the person is what I call a closeness, a very, very deep feeling of closeness with that person, that their presence is so remarkably tight with me after these beautiful dream astral projection experiences and very, very felt experiences with that person. And after some of the emotional expressions as well, there's a far deeper closeness, a unity, and of course, knowing that person. Telepathic experiences seem to get much more enhanced and vivid and longer. Communicative experiences, spiritual voice experiences tend to be more advanced and longer and lengthier. They turn into whole sentences, even conversations. Yes, that can happen. And dimensions, I'm not sure I understand dimensions in that, but it seems to be that dreams do have various dimensions. That's true. It's almost like they have atmospheres or something. And you can go from one to the other, then you break forth and go into some very, very far-reaching place that it's much more beyond. Even what you experienced, there's different kinds of levels. And when you do that, the daytime experiences get a lot more enhanced. Like I said, very often a dream, sleep vision, will produce this rocking, reeling effect. You come out of it and you wake up, and it will last, the memory of it, the essence of it, the overpoweringness of it will last well during the day. It's like you're still in that dream. It's so shocking and so electrifying that you feel like you kind of not, you don't come out of it for a while, for a long while. Depending on the strength of the dream, it can even last for 2 or 3 more days what you experienced. So it does definitely enhance the interaction with a person, unity with a person, and experiences. And yeah, seems to take you on many more planes. I don't know if that's a very good way to describe it, but
Yeah, it is, because there's still some question, the difference or similarities between planes and dimensions. And my understanding is, okay, we're on a plane, and this plane has a number of different dimensions, right? And then there's pl you know there's planes above and below our own, which have their own dimensions. So yeah, it can all get confusing after a while. But thank you for sharing that. And we've reached the end of the first half. We're just getting started. Our guest today is fellow team member on the Cosmic Switchboard show, Teresa Tucker. For those of you listening, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to the cosmicswitchboard.com website, sign up, and become a member, and we will see you at the top of the
And
next
thank you
hour.
very much, James. And I want to thank you for all your hard work on the site. It's magnificent. And I'm looking forward to the second half.